You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah,
ghetto people. Ghetto
people. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend, and hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, and it needed to be done, and it had to be done, it must be done, you did it. And you did it safely. And that's why we give you much props and love. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and there you will have available to you all the previously recorded programs, and it's updated thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and all times are going to give our Eastern Times. This evening, Monday, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahar Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Tuesdays, from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. On Wednesdays, from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday. Saturday, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com, and get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Products that are produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Taimba, my good brother Bomani. He's ready to go again. He's leaving this month for Ghana. Check him out. Go to his website, Africa for the Africans, spelt with a C, not the K, as it should be, but AfricaForTheAfricans.org. On that website will be everything you need to help you have a trip of a lifetime and a beautiful experience. Everything you need is there. If you want to see pictures of previously tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Yep. I tell you, it's raining really hard here. But fortunately, it slowed down. It slowed down. So I guess we're going to be okay. No, one thing surprising for me is in the area which I live here in Atlanta, when these kind of situations happen, I usually get, you know, power outage. I ain't saying nothing, but that sometimes happens. But fortunately, we're on and we continue to be on. And I appreciate it. Baba Rinoco Rashidi, Baba Rinoco, he has a program coming up this Friday, because Sunday is Mother's Day. This Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That is the great mother, black women in our history, the great mother. Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It is a two-hour program, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's going to be on... that's going to be on what you call on. Let me see. I got this story. That's going to be on Eventbrite. So go to Eventbrite, so you can and put in Dr. Rinoco. Okay, and of course he had the this past weekend the African presence in early Asia, and he has an educational tour coming up in Ghana, July 18th to August 3rd. With Professor Small, and Dr. Lynn Jeffries. And that's going to be July 18th to August 3rd. But of course, he also has a trip in that. So obviously from that trip in Ghana, he'll be doing the first portion of it because he's leaving and he'll be going to Kemet July 31st to August 13th. He'll be in Kemet and that tour. And that information is on his website, all the information that you need to take advantage of and the cost. I think the cost is like $4,200. $4,200, I'm not sure. But Dr. Rinoco, if you want to give him a call at 323-803-8663, 323-803-8663, or Dr. Rinoco at Hotmail, or Rinoco at Hotmail.com. That's his email address at hotmail.com. You can reach him in that way. All right. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They have a raffle. You can win a safari in Tanzania, a Tanzanian safari worth $15,000. So go to theledgegroup.com. Check out what it takes for you to enter the raffle and so forth. And you can become somebody who's going to be on a safari in Tanzania. Of course, the Ledge Group deals with the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. It has 12 projects in six different countries with over 170 people employed, as well as over 260 members. They need more members. That's right, theledgegroup.com. Check it out for yourself. Habashah Works. Habashah Incorporated, brothers and sisters, they're doing the work. Their programs are Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project that is happening in Ghana. If you go to their website, HabashahIncorporated.org, HabashahIncorporated.org, you can check out the Kashi Project. And the walls are up. The buildings are up, but they still need funding. And it was supposed to have happened last year, but hey. Also, too, there's a repatriation initiative through Habashah Works, and it's an outstanding repatriation initiative. So check out HabashahIncorporated.org. BB Toomey has a lot of things going on, brothers and sisters. This past Saturday, they had a workshop. Unfortunately, I was not able to check in on it because I really wanted to, because Brother Manua Pim was presenting along with Brother Kamban. And they're talking about, you know, building communities through the work-study model as opposed to the lecture model, through the work-study model. That's what we need. We need people to be held accountable. But they have a number of things that are going to be happening, learning from the elders. That's going to be on the 6th. That's Thursday. Learning from the elders. On Friday, Beyond Decolonizing Science, Resurrection and Resurrecting an African Science. And then, of course, on Saturdays, the seminar series, 400 years enduring historical misorientation. 400 years of enduring historical misorientation. And then also on Sunday, Repatriation Initiative, which I mentioned, they have a repatriation initiative. And you'll learn more about that on Sunday. And I think that's at in the morning. I think that's 8 o'clock in the morning. So anyway, I'll have more information as the week goes along here. And that's coming from BB Toomey. That's right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, cross street from Soul Veg, down the street from the Shrine of Black Madonna, which of course is open. I stopped in there the other day, Friday. They're open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Still not certain when they're going to open the, soon they said, the sanctuary and start opening on a regular basis. So that's the Shrine of the Black Madonna. But Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, right there on the right there in the West End here in Atlanta. And the number to call is 404-444-1635, 404-444-1635. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, has got more space and obviously can put more books up in there and anything else because she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and all kind of good stuff at the Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The number to call Mama Nia at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of Atlanta. And my good brother Gazimde Ajamu, he has a coffee bar now, so serving that delicious Cameroon boyo and other African coffees and teas and pastries and all bean pie. Got some, you know what, I'm not sure if that's the supreme bean pie out of Chicago. But I've had a piece. I've had a couple of pieces because I like bean pie. All right, give Brother Gazimde a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107 because he does, if just like Mama Nia and Brother him and even the Shrine, because they are all booksellers. If they don't have the book that you're requesting, believe me, they'll get it for you. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win, and that's every Thursday night at 9, from 9 to 10. If you want to call just to listen, you can do so. But if you want to give a question, comment, or concern, you dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road, Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225, Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop for all the products that you may need for grooming and incense and candles and all that kind of good stuff. Contact my sister, Shelly Amonset, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, my good sister Gabriella Aurelia, in the island of Haiti, in the northeastern portion of the island, in the rural area, doing outstanding work. Brothers and sisters, go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay-Haiti.org. And when you check it out, follow your heart and become a member, become a donor and help out any way that you can. Any and every little bit helps. You know it. Ackerman Institute. Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. But of course, if you don't want to make a check a money order out to Ackerman Institute, to Baba Baruti and Mama Yah Baruti, then use PayPal or Cash App. Like Cash App would be the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-D-I. B-A-R-U-T-I. You know, you can make your donations. Also, too, where is that? Hey, I got to get to that. Please, where I'm. And I got to find out where that at. Because I want to make sure that I tell you about the things that are up and coming. I know I want to tell you about the what's in a name, and that's being presented by the Pan-African Federalist Movement, the North American Pan-African Federalist Movement. That's going to be on African Liberation Day. That's May 25th, African Liberation Day. At 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Atlanta, D.C., and Florida chapters going in on a Zoom call. Anybody can join. Okay, that information will be there. I'll make sure that you have it, you know. But you can contact Mama Nubuntu. Mama Nubuntu in Atlanta, and the number is 650-766-5663. That's 650-766-5683. And or I'm gonna give you the other numbers too, because you know somebody might in DC be listening and somebody in Florida might be listening, and so you want to get in on this what's in the name. I'm going to be on the program, because you know me, I've always said that's key and critical, what we call ourselves and what names. You know, I know I often told my daughters, it's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. I understand that. But believe me, a lot of our people are still calling ourselves different things. In fact, I got an Enye Sasim to deal with that. Sure do. I got an Enye Sasim to deal with that. I'm looking for Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. Because I'm going to find it here in a minute. I know I is, because I got to, unless I did something to erase it, which of course would not be good, and in fact would be very frustrating. So let me go somewhere else. Oh, okay. Because, you know, they have a program coming up. And of course, too, I got it, brothers and sisters. I got it. See? Patience. Okay. This Saturday, we're going to have the quarterly gathering. This Saturday, the 8th, Warriorhood and Healing and Ma'at. Baba Baruti will have this portion. And then Saturday, May 8th, 12 noon to 2 p.m. And of course, you go online to, you know, please put in, register by going to, by, excuse me, please register by doing the following. Make your donation. It's $10 and $5 for warrior, young men, warriors in training. And it's via PayPal or Cash App, you know. Include your name and or pertinent information. Of course, it's the 6 quarterly members gathering. Your name, the email address where you want the stream link sent to, and that's all vital. So that's this Saturday at 12 noon, Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at. And also this Saturday, the Sister Circle with Mama Yah Baruti, N-E-Y, and that is $10 for adults and $5 for teens. And the topic is The Healing Continues. The healing continues from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday. From 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday. Same thing applies. Please make your check a donation on to using PayPal or Cash App. Include the pertinent information, quarterly sister circle, your name, the email address where you want the stream sent to. Okay? Abaka Sin Sum Sum. Mama Rimba Anise, the 18th annual Bakasin Tsum Tsum, and African Ancestral Warrior Plan. I don't see what the title date is, but it is Sunday, May 16th. Sunday, May 16th, 12:30 to 6:30. It's going to be at Sweetwater. And they had it last year. I think it was in November, you know. And I was told, you know, you shouldn't go because, you know, you got health challenges. And I really hated to miss it. I heard it was beautiful, and I know it will be again because it's a very spiritual, and it's African Ancestral War Plan. They conjure up our ancestors. Oh, it's beautiful, man. It's really beautiful. It's Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia. So we'll have more about that. Abakasin Tsum Tsum, African Spiritual Warfare. The Complementarity Conference, Affirming African Love, Saturday, June 5th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's online. $10 per adult, $5 per teen. And same thing applies. Make your $10 donation via PayPal or, you know, via PayPal. And then PayPal is yabaruti@yahoo.com. yabaruti@yahoo.com. Include your pertinent information, complimentarity conference, your name, and the email address where you wanted the streaming link to be sent to. B.B. Fahodie. Complimentarity Notes, and that's Baba Baruti's book, and his other, Sovereignty and Remembrance. He's a prolific writer. And that's, okay, quotation for reparations, and it's going to be July 3rd. It's going to be July 3rd. It's another, and I'll be reading these off. So, thank Baba Baruti. We do. We really do. And Mama Inia Baruti for all that they do. And let me get to the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. May 2nd. Are you willing to sacrifice who you are for who you want to become? Are you willing to sacrifice who you are for who you want to become? Eric Thomas. If you are not who we say we are, if we are not who we say we are, if we do not treat each other as we traditionally have, we should wonder what, as a people, we are really about. If we teach our children to speak respectfully, but do not ourselves act accordingly, the level of respect we deserve from them in each other should come into question. Reciprocity is a universal law. What is given is returned. If we worship individualism, there can be no respect, except that is based on expectation or a larger return through an overpowering enforcement. Automatic, unearned respect is the delusion of Erugu's boundless world. If there are no rules, there is no definition for disrespect. Social insult becomes individually defined, with power being the ultimate arbitrator. If the best of us are all talk, what more can we expect but less than what we are? If there is no evidence of genuine caring, concern, and respect between us, except that which is exhibited when we are in a predatorial pursuit of each other's for praise, attention, possessions, labor, protection, information, or sex, then any victory we achieve together will be hollow. And the contradictions we point out in others to mark what we should not be alike, well, will be even more evident in us. Affirm, I am willing to sacrifice all that prevents me from becoming an uncompromising warrior. Affirm, I am willing to sacrifice all that prevents me from becoming an uncompromising warrior. I've said, and, you know, people might know me. I mean, because really, I could do a sports show.
I've lived it. I've participated. You know, I know sports. I watch it. You know, but I would give up sports in a heartbeat for African liberation, for African self-determination, for African sovereignty. I would give up sports in a damn heartbeat. Because that, to me, is what's most important. Just like last Friday's program, the only solution is sovereignty. There is no other solution. May 3rd. If the master teaches that which is false, the disciple's submission is slavery. If he teaches truth, this submission is ennoblement. Comedic proverb. Members of our vanguard should not be able to conceive of anything more positively challenging and rewarding than saving the minds of our warriors in training through reconceptualizing reality in our favor, shaping it and fashioning it in our image and in our interests. Reconceptualization is the process of searching out and or recreating more appropriate terms. This is where I'm getting to the point where I will read this on African Liberation Day, what's in the name, because this is on point. Reconceptualization is the process of searching out and or creating more appropriate terms, and especially meanings to terms, that better fit the logically self-interest nation-building politics of our research and agenda. It is to speak for ourselves in a beneficial language that we feel and understand in our heads, hearts, and souls. Sovereignty-seeking politics demand that we provide them with a thinking, reconceptualizing foundation by explaining. For example, the substitution of slave master or slave master in slave Africans for slave. Yeah. Slave monster. Substitution of slave monsters for slave. So call them the slave monster. Now, I don't call them that, but this is cool. Slave monster for slave master. Enslaved Africans for slaves. Centered for conscious. Yes, for scribe. Sovereignty for freedom or liberty. Innate for inmate. Indigenous people for Indians. Jegna for mentor. To marry for mentee. Warrior for soldier. And when appropriate, universal or Euroversalization for universal. Because you know the European wants everybody to think and believe that whatever they do is universal. Everybody wants it. Everybody's doing it. Extend this reconceptualization from an African center to all areas of our conversation with them. Teach our children to reconceptualize the world through our center. Teach them to think as warriors who are African. In fact, I was looking, I went to a program and they kept saying mentor, and I had to raise my hand and say, do we know who mentor was? Do we know the story? You know, the Greek story of the Iliad, Homer's Iliad of Odysseus or Ulysses, whoever. And he goes out in his battles and he leaves his son to mentor. Mentor was what mentor did was sexually abuse his son. It's just point blank. That's why we should never, ever use that word to describe what we do with our young people, our young men and our young women. Jegna is the proper word. Jegnak means plural. Jegna means one person who gives guidance, one person who gives understanding and help a younger brother or sister. Jegna. And based on here, because we were looking for what word that we would use. I know, and Papa Baruti put it here in and to marry for that word as a mentee, to marry, timari or to marry. It looks like T-E-U, to M-A-R-R-I, marry, to marry. I'll get the correct pronunciation, but we need that. We need the proper language. And like I said, I'm not doing a workshop. I'm part of a discussion on the 25th on what's in a word. Affirm, I am a student and teacher of truth. Affirm, I am a student and a teacher of truth. That's what I try to be every time I come on this program, a bearer of truth, you know, because we need it. Speaking of a bearer of truth, this is going to be tough, and I'm going to talk a little bit and do a few things today because Wednesday and Friday, we're going to talk about the movie Great Pyramid K, 2019. If you have not seen the documentary, I know, it's 3.5 hours long is a long time. I understand. But you need to see it. You need to look at it. You need to be objective about it. You need to think rationally about it. What it is presenting, what it is stating. One of the things it is stating unequivocally, undeniably, that the ancient Kemetic people were African. Dark-skinned people. Yes, I know those who are listening, you know this. But a lot of our people don't know this. And a lot of people, period, don't know this. The world needs to see this documentary. The world needs to understand what has happened. The world needs to see what we as African people have done. When we traveled, we didn't come to take somebody's stuff. We didn't come to supplant somebody. We didn't come to take their resources and enslave them or eliminate them in acts of genocide. No, we came to share, which is evident by the monuments and temples that we left. Not just in the Yucatan Peninsula, which is, you know, where the Olmecs are, the Olmec heads, but other places. We did it. You know, listen. If I'm here in Atlanta and I've done something and it's kind of fun, kind of monumental, and then if it happens on the West Coast, you know, over a thousand, almost 2,000 miles away, and there's no communications, and it happens on the West Coast, and you would have to think that somehow that was presented to the people on the West Coast because it happened here. The same dynamic, the same thing. So you would think it didn't happen by osmosis. It didn't happen because I telepathically sent that. No, it happened because I left Atlanta, and I went to the West Coast, and I presented the information there, and they did the same thing there that was done here. The things that we did in Kemet were presented in this hemisphere, in Central America, South America, Peru, and so forth, Mexico. And then to the islands, all the way to Easter Island. Well, they call it Easter Island because the Europeans discovered. See, proper word. They discovered nothing, but they went to the island on quote Easter Sunday. Yeah. So I mean, I'm excited about it. It's a challenge for me. I gotta jot stuff down, I really want to try my best to present this information to the best I can. Hopefully, my good brother Kill Parker, who is also a mathematician, and the reason why I definitely want him on the program, because what this has shown is that this information is mathematical, scientific, historical. This is really a game changer, brothers and sisters. I know it was developed by an Armenian who lives in France and probably speaks French because it's hard to understand him, but there's something that he presents that is unequivocally undeniable, and he states it. These are Africans. These are black Africans. These are Negroid, what do you call them? Negroid Egyptians or some shit like that. But they're Africans. He said, no mixed race. I know there's the cat that he used to be head of antiquities in Kemet. And he's oust now. I don't know why. But Dr. Awas, you know, because Dr. Awas, he put forth that even though, and they have Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, they have Dr. Diop in this documentary and praise him for the work he did to challenge them in 1974. He said, you just give me a piece of the mummies, I can prove to you the melanin content. Because he developed a melanin dosage test, which was then the smoking gun to prove that the ancient Kemetic people were African, dark-skinned African. But the documentary says there were nobody but Africans doing this. There were no light-skinned people, no Arab, nobody but Africans until the first invasion of the Hyksos sometime later, which, of course, the pyramids and all those things had been done. Everything had been developed long before anybody came into Kemet outside of it. And we need to be known. We need to know that. No, now I ain't talking about us Africans. I'm talking about us as African people. Even the Negroes here, they need to know this. So I'm excited about presenting this information. And believe me, it is something that we need to do because, you know, we need to do it because of what has happened to us and continues to happen to us. Here is a piece from that... this is Howard Nichols. I've told you about this Caucasian. And I'm going to play another piece on Africa. Because we're under attack as African people. We're under attack for our human, for our lives, for our humanity. We're under attack for our history and our culture. We're under attack. And yet we are begging this damn country for inclusion. And yet we are begging the world to respect. No. It doesn't happen that way. It will never happen that way. Dr. Clark, once again, I've always quote Dr. Clark because he is the wise sage. He is truly an African-centered scholar along with the many other African-centered scholars, men and women who without foundation money or grant money claim to recapture and restore the history of our people to present it to us so we wouldn't be ignorant of who we are. And once again, ignorance is simply absence of knowledge. And so we want to present this information. But here's one reason why we got to do this. We must do this.
Sub-Saharan Africa has been fundamental to the global prosperity of the advanced countries. Okay? And Africa had a role to play. It has a role as a raw material producer. We will not allow Sub-Saharan Africa to escape that. Okay, we do everything to keep Sub-Saharan Africa where it is, also impoverished. It's absolutely vital for the prosperity of everyone else. So let's get clear about that. Okay, and this means all the economic structures, all the global institutions, and the economics we teach everyone is all designed to keep Africa exactly where it is. And whether it is Europe or US or now China, it's always the same. We need Africa to be impoverished because we need those raw materials and we need them dirt cheap. Okay, so that's the message. It doesn't mean to say that there's nothing Africans can do. Of course there is. Okay, but this is the opposition that they're fighting. This is what it's about. Because if Africa does do something different, I assure you living standards of all those in Europe and North America and Asia is going to fall. Okay? And that is a big price to pay. I assure you that the West is not going to allow that without a big fight. Okay, so this is what it's fundamentally about. What I want to show you is how these structures are operating. It's just 20 minutes, so we can't do very much, but just to give you a little bit of an idea. And why I keep the ideology part there is because we are part of the producers of ideology. At universities and academic institutions, we are complicit in this whole enterprise. Okay, so the job of many Western academics is to convince Africans they have to keep doing what they're doing. Okay? And to show them, it's your fault that you're poor. It's not our fault. It's your fault that you're poor. You know, so this is what we do in academic institutions, and I want to show that as well. And to start, this is what it's basically about, so you know what it's about, but I want to just show you the extent to which Africa is specializing in the production of raw materials and basic agricultural goods. We know the basic forces that have caused this underdevelopment. We know it's colonization. I will not discuss that very much because my colleague speaker is going to go into some aspects of this. But I do want to discuss the global economic structures, the global financial institutions, and economic ideology, briefly, to give you a flavor of those. Let me start with this. You can't really see it so easily, but if those of you who are interested, you want the PowerPoint, I'm sure we can make it available to you. But the thing that you really need to see is the top line. Okay? And the extent of dependency is captured by this statistic at the top. Okay? And you compare it with all other income groups, and what you see is essentially in that one statistic how dependent sub-Saharan Africa is on raw material production. Okay? This is the very heart of what makes sub-Saharan Africa beat. Okay? Here, just to have a look at one very important additional statistic, with all this export coming from sub-Saharan Africa, how much does sub-Saharan Africa account for in terms of global trade value? We know there are vast resources coming from there, but look at the bottom line in terms of global trade value. Look at that. 0.5% 1975, 0.95%, going down to 0.1, meaning that with all these vast resources being produced, how much are they getting for it? Nothing. This is a very significant piece of data. Then I just want to show you what has happened to sub-Saharan Africa, because what we know, and from all studies, no country ever develops without manufacturing. Okay, producing raw materials will not take you anywhere. Producing basic agricultural goods will not take you anywhere. And let's have a look at how much manufacturing activity takes place in sub-Saharan Africa. We can look over the last 15 odd years. 15, 20 years. And we see manufacturing has actually declined as a percentage of the total. This is percentages of total production in sub-Saharan Africa. How much of it is accounted for by manufacturing? So this figure here is 17% of the total. Most of the rest, when we talk of industry, it includes manufacturing, but the bulk of it is mining. Okay? Raw material extraction. This is the bulk of it. And here we see actually raw material extraction has stayed the same. What has caused industry to fall is the fall in manufacturing production. This is deliberate because we will never, as Western economists, as Western policymakers, we cannot afford to allow Africa to industrialize and start producing manufactures. Okay, so we will do everything to stop that. And I'm going to show you how we actually block that.
I don't know about you, every time I hear that, every time I play that, my jaws get tight. And I just want to jump through that YouTube piece and beat his ass. How arrogant. And some of us, you know, say, well, that's what they have to do. You know, that's what they have to do. But what should we do? We got to follow everything along with what Caucasians say and do. Yeah, because of the fear. Just like you said, if they decided to do that, Western society wouldn't allow it. And they would do everything possible to not to make that happen, even to the point of going to war. You know, us going to the UN, I think that needs to be done. Putting the world on notice, I think it needs to be done. But considering the Western society and how militaristic they are and how selfish and greedy they are, I don't know who would be on our side. I don't give a damn if nobody on our side as long as we fight. At this very moment, no, we're not ready to fight. We're not prepared to fight at this moment. But we must get ready, because to me, the only solution, and I said it from that program last Friday, the only solution for African people is sovereignty. We need to get the hell out of these mindsets of 54 sovereign. No, they're not. The countries on the continent are not. They're neocolonialism. They're despots. They're ignorant rulers, ignorant people who are siphoning off the wealth and giving up the wealth to foreign governments. I'm going to run another piece that I have played when we come back from the break. You know, and see, that's why I'm saying the information is vital and it's important. We must understand what we are up against. A lot of times we have no clue what we're up against. We think we're up against each other. We have no damn clue, and we act that way. This is vital, brothers and sisters. This is key. That's why, to me, the most important day that we need to focus on, I know damn Juneteenth. I like us coming together now. I ain't gonna argue about that. But, you know, Juneteenth signals the fact that they got 2.5 more years of labor out of us. 2.5 more years. But African Liberation Day is a day where you finally recognize we as African people are responsible for our own liberation. And everything that we touch, everything that we do, everything that we read, everything that we see is a tool for our liberation. That's why I'm saying to us, that documentary is a tool for our liberation, because it lets us know who we are, what we have done, and what we still can do. This Caucasian, hell no. We're going to close ranks, pull our resources, and develop for ourselves. You want something from Africa? You're going to pay a price, a fair market value price. If I want something from someplace else, there's trade. Man, brothers and sisters, let me take a break before I go off. Somebody said, Brother Oshie, you've been really going off the last few programs. Yeah, I'm going to tell you why, because time is of the essence. We don't have time. We may put a date out there in the future, but the time is now. The time for Africa to wake up is now. Okay, yeah, it really was yesterday, but let's do it right now, not tomorrow. Because our tomorrow is tenuous at best. We're dealing with an evil entity. There is no negotiations. There's none of that with these folks. And I don't give a damn. No, The only thing that we do, must do, should do, is close ranks amongst ourselves. Pull our resources. Drop all the ignorance, all the mysticism, all the tribalism. Drop that. Kick that shit to the curb. I apologize. No, I ain't apologize. I ain't apologizing for nothing. But a little profanity and little emotions. But y'all understand me. Because I understand y'all. And if you listen to this program, you pretty much feel the same way. Because, you know, I've started this thing, it's been 7 years. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I appreciate all the brothers and sisters that listen online at timeforanawakening.com, that call in at 215-490-9832, that listen on TuneIn, they have TuneIn, and they go to TuneIn, and then they hit Time for an Awakening because they made it a favorite, and they listen down. Whatever way that you do it, I'm thankful and appreciate that you do it. But I would say the same thing if nobody listened. I would be saying the same thing. Time is of the essence. The time is now. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Roy Ayers, Ubiquity album, 1972. Yeah, 50 years ago. 50 years ago. 2000's got to be black. Here we are in 2021. Yeah, 50 years and counting. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Of course, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And all times they're going to give are Eastern Times. Tonight, from 6 p.m., from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturday evening, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening. Sorry about that. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, the only part about that, Roy Ayers pieces, you know, think about your future and forget about your past. No, we cannot forget about the past. Should have worded that a little bit different. But hey, it is what it is. But 2000 has got to be African. It's got to be us. Here's a piece I want to play. You probably heard it. It's been on Facebook and around for quite some time, but it's still very good. It's a sister. She looks, she's got a ghillie on and she's saying about what has happened. And I must be saying this to a Caucasian woman. And she's saying the truth. You know, what I've often said about Europeans is that they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe that they're superior. They believe in all that they've done, what they've co-opted, what they have stolen and everything like that. They believe it was manifest destiny. They believe it was there for them to take and there for them to do. And nothing that anybody can say or do can make them change. The truth is there, but they ignore it. They dismiss it. And they continue on with the idea that they are ordained by God, their God, to rule over this planet. They're less than 10% of the population of the world, but yet control an inordinate, enormous amounts of resources, money, and so forth, and influence. Say all the time about Europeans or Caucasians or any other adjective you might want to use. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. And they suffer from Caucasian fragility. That means that their egos are fragile. They don't want to hear about the rapes. They don't want to hear about the stolen land and the genocide. You know, you see all the time, they always talk about genocide. To me, you should only talk about genocide when it happened. Not know it, or just put attempted murder, attempted genocide. Don't just say genocide, because these aren't, if the people were not removed and erased, like the Aqua Indians, like the Tasmanians, that's genocide. Now, if I'm wrong, rescue me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Other words, attempts, because the people are still there. The European Jews are stronger than ever. And they make that the model of genocide in the last century. That's what, you know, that's what they talk, genocide. What the other Europeans did to them. They still had their culture. They still had their theology. They still had their earnings. They still, in fact, they got more. They got more because of it. Germany had to consistently pay. Other countries around the world. The establishment of taking Palestine's land and reestablishing that. And I'll tell you what real genocide is. Let me play this piece right here, and after we play this, we'll have more discussion, and you can join this discussion by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. So we're going to play this.
Since we met you people 500 years ago, look at us. We've given everything. You are still taking. It's true. I mean, where would the whole Western world be without Africa? Our cocoa, our timber, our gold, our diamonds, our platinum, our whatever. Everything you are is us. I am not saying it. It's a fact. And In return for all of this, what have we got? Nothing. Anti-personnel indoctrination against ourselves. If you go and cook your horrible diseases like AIDS, you say it is us. You brought us tuberculosis. We didn't have this big cough until white people came here. In exchange for Africa giving Europe 500 solid years of our people, I mean, not Europe, the Western world, of our human beings to work your canes, to dig your gold, to take in gold itself, diamond, I mean, you know, fish, peanuts, palm oil, everything. In exchange for that, we have got nothing. Nothing. And you know it. Nothing. And you look upon, you know, white folks look upon us like monkeys. It is true. It's in your literature. Hey, you know, some of your best thinkers have said this about us. Have you heard of the, I mean, all these Germans? Have you heard?
Okay.
Yes. They said, Lord Burton, people like that, they said, we don't even have the brain of animals. That's what we've got from you people.
But don't you think that this is over now?
Over where? Is it over? Who said that AIDS came from the green monkey? Is it over? Is it over?
Well, if this is your impression, do you think that you can ever forgive us?
It's not a question of forgiveness. I have nothing against you. My point is that you did and you are doing for your survival what is necessary. We can't blame you for that. The fact that we didn't do enough for our own survival and we are still not doing enough for our survival. That is not your problem.
Well, I tell you, that sister, I feel her, but you know, that to me, they are to blame. And no, there's no amount of apology. There's nothing. Especially, I don't want to hear no damn apology. Only thing that I want to see is true reparations. Reparations mean to repair. I ain't talking about somebody getting a check. I'm talking about money and materials and equipment to repair the damage that is deep damage that has been done to us on the continent. That's what I'm talking about. That's what's necessary as far as I'm concerned.
Today we'll talk about Africa, once seen by Europe as the antithesis of civilization, the heart of darkness, in the words of a certain Joseph Conrad. Centuries later, Africa remains ignored. It makes news for its conflicts, poverty, and exoticism. For the longest time, the world saw it as a lost cause. Then one country saw opportunity and thus began a new race for Africa, not very different from the scramble of the 19th century when colonial Britain and France wanted raw materials, slaves, and geopolitical influence. Now, in the 21st century, global powers are in more or less the same race. China, the United States, India, the European Union, Japan, Israel, Canada, all of these countries are in the race for Africa. And one country is emerging as the clear winner. Hello and welcome to Gravitas Plus. I'm Palki Sharma Upadhyay. And this is Africa, a continent of 54 sovereign states, 17% of the world's population, 9.6% of the global oil output, 90% of the world's platinum supply, 90% of the world's cobalt supply, half of the world's gold supply, two-thirds of the world's manganese, 35% of the world's uranium, 75% of the world's coltan, and 54 votes in the United Nations General Assembly. This is what makes Africa so attractive and makes the continent a battleground for global powers. There are numerous fronts: investment in infrastructure, military power, diplomacy, soft power, trade, geopolitics. Every country has its own interest in Africa. In 2016, Israel began its scramble for the continent. Benjamin Netanyahu became the first Israeli prime minister to visit Africa in 50 years. What did he want? Votes. In favor of Israel and against Palestine in the United Nations resolutions. Africa and Israel share similar histories, he said. Israel went on to sponsor solar, water and agricultural technologies. In the same year, 2016, Senegal co-sponsored a UN resolution. It condemned the construction of illegal Jewish settlements in the West Bank. What did Israel do? It cancelled the Mashav drip irrigation project. And this is just one example. Here's another one. The European Union has pledged more than $54 billion in sustainable investment for Africa. What does the EU want? Access to the African market of 1.3 billion people. Brussels has negotiated free trade agreements with at least 40 African countries. But does this ensure a balanced two-way trade? It doesn't. And no country has a bigger interest in Africa than China. China is funding 1 in 5 infrastructure projects in Africa. It is building every third one. Africa has an infrastructure deficit and China has a signed checkbook. Starting 2005, China has invested at least $2 trillion in Africa. It built 6,200 kilometers of railways, including the continent's longest railway line connecting Ethiopia and Djibouti. Beijing has also built the African Union headquarters in Addis Ababa. What does China get in return? A lot. Geopolitical influence to start with. Beijing is selling its culture, its currency. In Guinea-Bissau, exit signs are written in Mandarin. China has established at least 50 Confucius Institutes across 33 countries. Several African countries use Chinese currency. China also gets a strategic overseas base. In 2017, China built its first overseas base at the Horn of Africa, Djibouti, to be specific. Djibouti connects the Mediterranean Sea to the Indian Ocean via the Suez Canal. The base has the capacity to accommodate 10,000 troops. China also gets a market to dump its goods. China is Africa's largest trading partner. Chinese trade has increased 40-fold in the last two decades. At least 10,000 Chinese firms operate in Africa. This is according to a McKinsey study. Africa has resources and China has access. Did you know that a third of China's investments in Africa are in the mining sector? And finally, it gets to debt trap Africa. But here's the thing. China is not the only country investing in this continent. It's not even the biggest. The United States is Africa's largest investor. It accounts for $54 billion of FDI stock. There are 600 American companies operating in South Africa alone. And this, even after the U.S. president called Africa this. For the longest time, Africa was nothing but a war zone for Washington. It has over 7,000 troops deployed in the continent. They're spread across some 13 African countries, including Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Chad, Democratic Republic of Congo, Kenya, Libya, Mali, Mauritania, Niger, South Sudan, Somalia, and Tunisia. For the U.S., Africa was a continent for counter-terrorism operations. What happened then? Why is the U.S. suddenly interested in Africa? The answer is this. For the U.S., Africa is now a new front to take on China, and Washington is now fighting it out for power and influence. An article on the U.S. State Department website reads, and I quote, "Africa is the continent of the future. Thus, we need to make the most of its potential. By 2050, its population will more than double to 2.2 billion people, with over 60% under the age of 25. Where is Africa's interest in all of this? Also, what about India? What role does India play in this continent? New Delhi's ties with Africa date back to the time of Mahatma Gandhi. India was part of the Bandung Project of 1955. New Delhi supported Africa's anti-colonial struggles. It supported the liberalization movements in Ghana, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, Angola, Mozambique, Guinea-Bissau. India also raised the issue of racism in South Africa. It will be unfair to say, though, that India's newfound interest in Africa has nothing to do with China. In 2018, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi toured key African states just ahead of Chinese President Xi Jinping's visit. In 2018, India decided to open 18 new embassies in Africa. India has defense partnerships with Zambia, Nigeria, Ghana, Ethiopia, Botswana, Uganda, Mozambique, and Namibia. New Delhi is currently training African military. Indian company Airtel is a dominant telecom firm in Africa. New Delhi is offering 50,000 scholarships to African students. Despite everything, India is far behind China in the race for Africa. China's Belt and Road Initiative has sealed its hold on Africa. If in the 1900s Africa was colonized with force, in 2020 it is being trapped by loans. China accounts for 14% of sub-Saharan debt. In Kenya, the volume of Chinese loans is 6 times that of France, which is the country's second largest creditor. And Sri Lanka can tell you what happens when Chinese loans are not repaid. China is looking to capture Africa. It has a strong diaspora. It is spending big money. It is selling its movies, culture, and currency. China extracts raw materials. It manufactures products with them and sells them back to this continent. Does this remind you of something? What did the British do in India? In the 19th century, the rivalry between Britain and France fueled Africa's colonization. In the 21st century, the trade war between the United States and China is hastening the same. Just like the 19th century, there are numerous countries in the scramble for Africa. And just like the 19th century, there is nothing in it for Africa.
Gravitas Plus, co-presented by Skoda. Simply clever.
Today we talk about Africa. Yeah. So now you understand. Now you see the predicament that we are in as African people. We have no friends. Now, the woman who made that presentation, she's Indian. And so she put a glowing piece on Mahatma Gandhi. But Mahatma Gandhi didn't give a damn about African people. If you remember, you know the story, you know that even when he was in South Africa. Now, she said that India did that and challenged apartheid. I'm not going to debate none of that. But I know that Mahatma Gandhi does not deserve a statue in the King Center. That Dr. King, he talked about Mahatma Gandhi because he understood that the situation in India, they didn't have the weaponry to challenge the British. They had the human mass. So we march, we demonstrate the human mass, nonviolent social change. And so when they got violent, just the spotlight on Britain was just so ugly. India wanted its country back. India wanted to determine its life for itself, like any other cultural group. Any other country has that right. So here we are. Here we are today. Just like last week, this program here, I titled that Africa, a historical game changer. I believe that this documentary is a historical game changer. But I'm not naive. I'm not a fool. I know that. Western society does not just change things, particularly if it doesn't benefit them. It doesn't look good for them, and it doesn't. It doesn't. But I don't give a damn about them. I care and love us, and I want us to understand who we are, what we have done. Because if we understand what we have done, then we also can understand what we still can do. Because if you believe you have never done nothing, that you were running around the jungle with a rag up your ass and a bone through your nose, never having created a civilization of any note, of any worth. And that's what the European has tried to make us think. That we've never done nothing. That we were waiting for them to bring us light, bring us information. We have to release this vice grip that the Europeans have on our minds. We have to. How do we do it? I mean, a vice grip, once it is set, it is locked. And they have put a lock on our minds. So to the degree that we cannot step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed on us. But once we release that vice grip, we can do that, and we can see them for who and what they are, and not that we challenge them. Remember, once again, they suffer from cognitive dissonance. There ain't a damn thing we can do or say, so don't even bother. But once we have done that, now we can see them for who and what they are, but more importantly, we can come together because of what they have done to us. And not that we're Nigerian or Cameroonian or Ghanaian. or Botswana, whatever. We're African. And we're going to be one Africa. We're going to build for ourselves. We're going to build our own infrastructure. We don't need the damn Chinese to build a road for us. It's crazy. They built that road, as I said last week, from Tamale in the northern region of Ghana to Moli Park. But not only did they build that road to Moli Park, they built another game reserve for themselves with a road from where it leads to Moli Park to that. And of course, they don't use no African labor. We'll do it. I saw firsthand in the Bahamas when our Black Firefighters Convention was in the Bahamas 4 or 5 years ago. Huge resort on one of those Las Vegas looking ass resorts. Huge. Nothing was happening there because at the time that we were there, there was a strike. Not the laborers, the management against the Chinese government, the other Chinese, because they wanted whatever they wanted. Because the laborers were prisoners. So, it's Pan-Africanism or perish, brothers and sisters. It's unify or die. That's it. That is it. Want to get on this conversation, give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. There's a number of people who are in the queue here. If you want to have a comment or question or concern, you hit star twice. You can hit star twice, and I'll acknowledge that, and we can have some conversation. I'm really expecting those brothers and sisters who are listening to check out that documentary. I really want us to have conversation Wednesday and Friday this week. I really do. Because I really want us to clearly understand what we have done, so therefore we know what we can do. And what we have done was independent of anybody. Even when we went other places with this knowledge, with these abilities, we left our mark. We were a benefit to everywhere we've gone. We were a benefit. We didn't come to take, to rob, to steal, to undermine, to supplant. No. We're African people. We share. Somebody said that's to a fault. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to continue to be what I am. I'm going to be very aware of my enemy. And yes, brothers and sisters, we have an enemy. There's, what they have done to us clearly shows us who, what they are. They are an enemy to African people. So, I'm going to be very aware of that fact and do all I can to put us as African people in the best position. 447, good afternoon.
Oh, wow. I come straight through. Good afternoon, brother.
You sure did come straight through and loud and clear. How you doing, man? You doing okay?
Well, I'm absolutely alive. And if I'm alive, I can do better. And better I must do.
That's right.
So it is.
I agree. So, Brother Paul, have you been able to check out that documentary on YouTube? The Great Pyramid K 2019? Have you had an opportunity yet?
Absolutely. No, I haven't. No.
Okay, please do so if you can. The title, they say, is The Movie. But I'm quite sure if you go to YouTube, and then you put in the search Great Pyramid K 2019, I'm quite sure it'll pop up. It is 3.5 hours long, and I know that's a long time, but the information is so vitally important in how they lay it out. There's one portion of it that I even fast forward because I've seen it a couple of times. I'm going to see it again before Wednesday and Friday when we discuss this. And that's the part when these two Caucasians, these two Frenchmen, they build, they're on a boat that sails across the Atlantic into this hemisphere. You know, once again, proving that it can be done. But as I stated earlier, that Thor Heyerdahl, he did the same thing back in the 70s with a boat made of reeds, just like the boat that we would have made then, you know, called the boat the Ra, and they put the boat on in the current, you know, and that boat sailed to this hemisphere, you know, proving that it can be done because it was done. We did it. So if you can, Brother Paul, that would be cool. And once again, on YouTube, Great Pyramid K, 2019. You know, I played a piece, Brother Paul, and I, you know, particularly the one with the sister about Africa, who, you know, her passion is that, you know, you just keep taking, you know, for 400-500 years, you know, you keep robbing us, putting us in a bad position. You keep taking and taking. You know, you have shown us no humanity. In fact, you have broadcasted globally that we are not human, that somehow we're less than animals, that we're incapable. In fact, I've seen a piece that I wish I could have found a way to save it. The Chinese said it is by divine providence that we should be taking Africa. Africans are incapable of running Africa. So we Chinese were much smarter, much technologically advanced. So it is our right. He said it is their right to dominate and colonize Africa. You know, and when you consider that they're talking about putting 300 million. Now, I know that China has 1.4 billion people in China. And I know too that a lot of the Chinese are not as well off as it appears. It makes it seem. I know that, you know, those who live in Hong Kong, those who live in Shanghai, those who live in, you know, all these other places, you know, beautiful place, Peking and so forth. But there are many poor people. I mean, seriously, abject poverty, poor people. And I'm quite sure they're not going to export 300 million well-to-do, so-called middle-class people into Africa if their plan holds true, you know. So, you know, this is tough. So what's happening in the UK, man?
Well, you know, we've just come out of lockdown, as they call it, lockdown. You know, everything's opening up. Apparently, the first city to go into lockdown was Liverpool, which is the historical point of Liverpool is where they right. brought in the captured Africans.
Yes. Yeah? But yes.
Apparently, the first city in England to go in lockdown was Liverpool, and they were the first to come out.
Okay.
But what I find interesting, they're showing pictures on the television of certain festivals they're having, and it just amazes me. Predominantly white people at rock festivals with no masks on, as if to suggest that all of a sudden, because they have decided that it's time to come out of lockdown, wearing no masks is feasible. Now, what I'm trying to point to, but what I'm trying to say here, for those who probably wonder where I'm going here, is that how is it that they are allowed to tell you when to wear a mask and when you shouldn't wear a mask and how the virus is going to attack you or when it's not going to attack you? How do they have that? How do they have the right to play God, and how do we accept that and allow that to happen? But this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm, you know, so we've just come out of lockdown, things going on, and they are still pushing people to have the vaccine. Predominantly, according to them, a great deal of so-called black people are not prepared to have the vaccine. So they've come out with this narrative vaccine hesitant.
Yeah, that's been that's been happening here, here in the States. Now that number of people over 100 million people have been vaccinated, and although there are 300 million some people here, so that's like just a third of the population, and they talked about at least two thirds or higher should be vaccinated to develop a herd immunity, and but now many people now are very hesitant to get the vaccine. Some people who have gotten the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine, which is a two-shot vaccination, as opposed to the Johnson and Johnson vaccine, which is a one-shot vaccination, many of them are not taking that second shot, you know. And, I mean, there have been some people who have gotten sick, very small. There have been some people who have even died, very, very small, you know. But for me, you know, on this program, I've never told people to take it or not to take it. My thing has been do the research. You know, I presented a piece with a brother on YouTube. I thought he had a very compelling piece that he did on health and how to make yourself healthy and how to eat right and getting vitamin D, getting sunlight, you know, and so forth would prevent you from, you know, getting coronavirus or definitely not suffering from coronavirus. And what has come out as of late is that those of us who are overweight or obese, those of us who have preconditions, whether it's asthma, whether it's diabetes, whether it's a number of things that we do have, are more susceptible to coronavirus, you know. And, of course, if you're on a respirator, boy, that can be very bad, you know. So, you know, what's happening in the UK is happening here and happening in other parts of the world as it relates to coronavirus. But now you see two places where coronavirus is running rampant, Brazil and India. Both of them have huge populations and a huge amount of poverty in those populations, you know. And so, you know, because I think over 400,000 people have died in Brazil. I'm not sure what the numbers are in India. I know that they do a lot of cremation in India. And what they're saying now is that, you know, people get up in the morning, all they do is smell smoke and the burning of flesh, man. So, you know, so my contention has always been, you know, for yourself to be smart. You know, think about your health. Think about the situation, you know. Think smart. Well, be safe.
You know. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I don't take drugs and I hardly drink. That's how I protect my health. So for me personally, I've never bought a cigarette for no one, because if I don't smoke because I think it's bad for you, why the hell am I going to give it to somebody else or buy it for somebody? That to me don't make no sense.
Okay.
My mother and father never smoked. Most people in my family have never smoked. So my dad's always given us the idea that smoking is weakness. Sorry if it offends anyone, but he's always given us the idea that relying on anything is weakness. So I've never smoked in my life, neither has none of my brothers.
Right on. Good.
So me personally, if I don't do something, I'm not going to accept it from anybody else. So therefore, if I choose not to take the vaccine because I think it's a genocidal step, and I don't trust these people, I don't trust their media, I don't trust their information, I don't trust their statistics, they have a record. Look, I worked a long time in the court, yeah, in the court legal, in the judiciary system, and the one thing when you see a trial, you can't have a trial without knowing the history. They want to know history. It's all about your history.
Okay.
And your outcome is going to be dependent on your history, okay? Now, if you have a history of murdering off, raping off, killing, shooting, and doing all kind of things to people, yeah? Why should I trust you? If
exactly.
If you come in the court and you're an axe murderer, killing women by the night, right? Am I going to be, someone going to convince me that you didn't do the crime you're suggested to do? No. Only a fool takes that stance. So me personally, I ain't going to take no vaccine. I ain't killing no one. I'm not going to tell anybody else to go and take it, because I ain't taking it. They come high or hell water, they're going to have to hold me down and murder me off the planet before I take it. So I ain't going to tell nobody on this planet to take that. For instance, we talk about research here. Yeah? I've done the research. And from what I hear, it shouldn't even be called a vaccine. They're only calling it a vaccine, right? Because it's a selling point. Because we have some lying, cheating, dirty, scumbag politicians who have sold their souls.
Mm-hmm.
And they're happy to sell the people as well. And this is not uncommon because they do that all the time.
Right, right.
They do that because they're serving a corporate interest. Well, Benito Mussolini, the dictator, coined corporatism, fascism. Mm. And it's funny, I keep asking this question, Baba Ochi, and yet nobody, I think there's about 55 million Americans, I'd love someone to tell me why in your Senate you have fascist symbols on the left and right house of the Senate. Why is that?
Because that's really who they are. You know?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Because they've always given the appearance. I'm sorry, Brother Paul, but they've always given the appearance of fairness, of righteousness, of truth and liberty and justice and all that bull. But they ain't that. They're far from that. They're lying,
fascism.
Cheating.
That is what they're promoting is fascism.
Yes.
Fascism.
Yes.
Okay? There's a song, right, written by an English European. He's actually of Irish descent called, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of this character called Johnny Rotten. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
A character called Johnny Rotten?
Johnny Rotten, no.
He wrote this song. It goes something like this. God save the queen in a fascist regime. That's the lyrics in the song.
I love
God
it.
God save the queen in a fascist regime. Now, what does that tell you? Now, the reason I think he wrote that song, because the Irish, being of Irish descent, they don't really like the British, and they've
right.
had a long-running battle with the British, so they tell a lot of the truth. So when you listen to them, you hear what really happened there. And he you can go online and see Johnny Rotten in his name, God save the Queen and her fascist regime. Now, remember, her line comes from Germany, and mm-hmm. the Germans, the Goths,
right.
the first ones to overthrow the real fascist regime, which was the Romans. Now, mm-hmm. every name in America, the Senate, the Republicans, are all named after Romans.
Yes.
That's why you've got the fascism,
yes.
because you're copying Rome.
That's right.
It's a fascist regime. So why should I bitch, go and trust these people and their nonsense? Because that is their mentality. There's a story of a scorpion and a frog, and the scorpion mm-hmm. went across the river.
Right.
Jumped on the frog. Halfway across the river, the scorpion stung the frog. The frog turned around and said, why did you do that? I'm helping you across the river. The scorpion turned around and said, it's my nature.
That's right. Listen, that's what I do.
It's what they do.
I
don't need to ask these people questions anymore. I don't need to ask them why. I'm a damn idiot. I don't need to ask them why. I know why they do the things they do. Because
mm-hmm.
they are megalomaniac, sociopathic, narcissistic psychopaths. Okay? That's why they do the things they do. It's their nature.
It's their nature.
Right?
It's not in them to do otherwise. It's not in them.
It's part of their evolutionary development.
Check this out, Brother Paul. Fascism. Powerful and continuing nationalism. Disdain for human rights. Identification of enemies. Scapegoats has a unifying cause. Supremacy of the military. Rampant sexism. Control mass media. Obsession with national security, religion, and government. Obsession with the national security, religion, and government are intertwined. Corporate power is protected. Labor power is suppressed. Disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Obsession with crime and punishment. Rampant cronyism and corruption, fraudulent elections, fascism. When I read this, to me, that summed up what was happening with Donald Trump the last 4 years and other fascists and other governmental entities that are European, that are fascists. And that's what fascism is.
Well, if you flip the coin, you get communism, right? Which is the opposite. And they share... Look, remember, right? Hitler, this character called Hitler, yeah? he called himself a socialist. They were socialists, you know. And the socialists are actually communists. You've got the Chinese regime. Remember, you've got to look at thing here. We have a lot of Chinese in Jamaica, but remember, a lot of there was a split in China. A lot of them went to Taiwan, and the communist section took over the country. Communism is a Trotsky-Leninist idea which came out of Russia. It's a mostly Jewish ideology which probably spouts from Zionism. Okay. Right? Socialists, communism. These are all their ideas, Trotsky, Leninist, et cetera, which we go and adopt, thinking that these things are going to carry us through. They were never made for us, they were made for them. So for me personally, the Chinese are carrying out a socialist, communist, Zionist agenda, right? They're working together. It's a plan. It's just a plan. It's a plan they have, because the plan is to take over Africa. That's the plan, because that's where all the raw materials are. And once that happens, we're finished on the planet. That's what it is for us. That's it for us. No African America in America is going to be able to save anything, anybody, anywhere. Once they take over Africa, that's it for us on the planet. It done, done. So you know, I really appreciate your sentiments, Baba Ochi. Absolutely, and every week you're here pushing the same message. And we won't know ourselves until our back's up against the wall. But the problem is that our backs have long time been up against the wall, and we still don't know ourselves. So we're in damn trouble.
Yes.
We're in real trouble. And that is not trying to scare people. We are in dire straits, okay? And they are actively trying to take over Africa in every way, shape, and fashion.
Yes.
And for me, this vaccine agenda is genocidal. And it's not a vaccine, really. It's a biological weapon. That's what it is. And we've got to stop saying it's a vaccine and sitting on the fence, because they are killing us off the planet. No joke.
Yeah.
Right? And anybody who thinks they're not is a damn idiot. They are killing us off the planet. And I don't accept their statistics. I don't accept their mass media propaganda. I don't accept one damn thing which comes out of their forked tongue mouth. Okay? And until we can have our own statistics and define our own reality, trust me, I'm going to have to defend my own self. And it seems like it's going to be every man for himself. Because when I listen to some of these so-called experts, they make me want to feel like I want to run and jump off the cliff, sitting on the fence. The reason why they're sitting on the fence is because they're not leaders.
No, they're not leaders. They're followers. In fact, they're also paid. They also have their benefits from those who are in control.
They're sold out. And to be honest with you, Baba Ochi, I am to death. If when they come on the radio or any media, I turn it off now. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to hear a damn word they've got to say. Mm-hmm. Because one thing the divine gave me is the intellect and the ability to define my own reality and use my own mind. And if I have to defend myself and make a decision for myself, I'll be happy. But if I leave someone, some idiot who's come out of university to make a decision for me and it's wrong, I'll be very unhappy with myself. So that's the one thing I'm blessed with, the ability to use my own mind. And I suggest others do the same, because you can't trust these people anymore. And some of them look like us, brother. Quite a lot of them look like us.
Yes.
You understand? That's the position we are in, right? We keep saying we're at war. We're not at war. We're under severe attack without the real will to fight back and sit down and strategize and realize that we have to make some strategic moves to stop being annihilated. You know, right now, right in England, and I said this in the beginning, what they were going to do, and I knew they were going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They now say that they want to vaccinate the children right now. I can tell you, hand on my heart, that my children have had no vaccines. I can tell you this, hand on heart. My oldest daughter's 33, my youngest one's 19. Okay, they've never had no vaccines, ever. The last one, which they made compulsory for the girls, HPV, with the human papillomavirus, virus, I'd go down to school and explain to them that they're not having it. Okay. I was told by the headmaster in the school, them and another set of girls were the only ones in the whole school who didn't have it. And he shook my hand. Yeah. Like this to suggest that I knew something the others did. Of course I knew, because I'd done my research.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I knew they were lying. And I'll tell you something else what happened. This is fact. The government minister, which advised Tony Blair at the time, he was the government, resigned because she said she could no longer keep lying to the people.
Mm.
And the girls were dropping dead all over the place for septicemia. Okay? But they don't know that because they've got these smartphones, but the phones are smarter than them. They don't bother to do their research. They just follow the mass manipulating media and the nonsense they spill, the propaganda. The whole, the British Broadcasting Corporation is one of the biggest propaganda machines on the planet.
On the planet, yes,
PBS,
it is.
I think the BBC. It's the company in America, PBS, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They spout and control the propaganda on the planet. These people, these devils right here. And I listen to the sheeple, listen, spinning off the propaganda. These people have a reputation. When they came to that land you call America, what did they do to the indigenous people? They wrapped them up in smallpox and murdered them.
Yes. Yes.
That's their history. So why do you think this scorpion has changed this person? Why? Why? Because he dresses in a suit and talks all eloquently. He calls himself a Christian or whatever he calls himself. Listen, it's time to wake up, Bubba. We've got to wake up. But this is no time for these little egotistic games. Look at this expert I can call or this one I can call. Who cares? I don't care. I was blessed with the divine right to make my own decisions for my own self, and I've made them for my children, and I will carry that burden for them. And, mm-hmm. I've sat down and spoke to them, and I've told them, and if they want to go and have it, it's down to them. But, I made that decision for them as their father because I knew it was the right decision. By the way, my mum's brother, one of them, is severely autistic. He's about 58 now, okay? And my grandmother told me, he's 58, remember, that when he had... That's when he had the vaccine when he was young. That's when she saw signs of the deterioration.
Mm-hmm. They already talked about vaccines creating autism in kids, and a lot of I believe it. I believe it.
But
they wanted what they wanted to do was suppress that vaccines don't create autism. There was Kennedy's son, Robert Kennedy, he went out and stated this, that these things were creating autism. In fact...
Why would he put his neck on the line like that? Robert De Niro. I've seen the documentary.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Why would they put it in like that? Listen, but people ain't listening here because they are absolutely tricked by this television and this propaganda machine, which, we've been told, but a lot of us are not listening. Mm-hmm. We're just not listening because we're in it. We're under hypnosis. A great deal of us are under damn hypnosis. That's where we're at.
Oh yeah, Paul, when you've been bombarded 24/7, 365 by a propaganda machine that the Western society, white people, Europeans, Caucasian, whatever, maintain, you're going to think in certain ways that. The way that you've been dictated to. And so therefore, even though you could be blamed for your decision making, but really your decision making was really not your own. You've been manipulated. You've been undermined.
Absolutely.
You've been controlled to think and act and behave the way they want you to, and anybody who steps outside of those imposed boundaries, we're going to attack them. We're going to eliminate them because we got to maintain control. We got to put out there, to me, and I know my time is up because I already went over a little bit, but to me, when you have a Dr. Fauci, when you have a Bill Gates, when you have others talking about population control and that we can create vaccines to deal with population control, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm very leery of that, very suspicious of somebody now presenting a vaccine to me saying this is for your health. When in essence, these people are about population control. Fauci, he was adamant that the AIDS virus was not created, in a laboratory. When there's documented proof that the AIDS virus was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland, it was appropriated by the Army, by the U.S. government for the Army, for biological weapons, and then tested out in Africa, and then tested out on the gay population, and then us here in this country and globally. You know, these are some devils, man. These are some very evil people. And so therefore you thinking that it's not going to happen, and you know, that you can trust the hell no. You can't trust them. Brother Paul, go ahead. You can have the last word, and I'm going to get out of here, man.
Well, Baba Ochi, all I can say to you is that, you know, you're truly, truly touched by the divine, but by giving the opportunity to be able to speak freely and speak honestly. It seems in a time like this, a lot of us have been made into sheep, following the crooked shepherd back into the sheep pen and back to the slaughterhouse. But in the end of the day, you know, the brave stand up and they talk the truth. They don't talk the truth because it's nice. They don't talk the truth because they want it to be accepted. The truth is the truth, and it begs no friends. Yeah. So, Baba Ochi, you keep up the good work and keep the fire burning always.
You too, dear brother. Hey, Brother Paul, if you can, check that documentary out, Great Pyramid K 2019 on YouTube. Go to YouTube and put in Great Pyramid K 2019. It's a documentary that's a game changer. It tells it specifically how it was done.
Absolutely.
It tells specifically how it was done, how they built the pyramids and temples and tombs, and who did it. So, and I'm going to be talking about that in the next two programs. So I hope you will be able to join in, Brother Paul. You have a blessed day, man.
You too. Absolutely. Take care.
All right, brother. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you here on Wednesday. Peace.